1, 2, 3.
Radio Free America, and this is Uncle Sam with music and the truth until dawn. Right now, I've got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone. The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. It's 12 o'clock, Americans, another day closer to victory. And for all of you out there on or behind the lines, this is your song.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, flagship show of the Patriot Broadcasting Network, a radio station focused on growing indomitable all-American 21st century liberty. This live episode of the Patriot Power Hour is brought to you by Ready-Made Resources. Plan, prepare, preserve with ReadyMadeResources.com. Now, let's welcome our hosts. Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, Cochran, and Future Dan, the editor-in-chief of the most original news radar on the planet, FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour. We are live. We are back. November 7th, 2019, episode 73. Ben, the Breaker of Banksters here. My co-host, Future Dan, of FutureDanger.com. Follow along, FutureDanger.com. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, Ben?
Not too shabby. Crazy to think it's already November. Heck, we're almost into a whole new decade, 2020, but, you know, maybe more appropriate for this show. About a year until election 2020.
Yeah.
This is like the countdown really starts. I'm starting to pay attention now, finally. I really try to avoid it, but here we go.
The framework of Future Danger doesn't capture much of what's currently being talked about. So Patriot Power, we usually focus on, you know, the stark headlines that we see on the website, but we'll get to them next segment. But the news is dominated by things that don't even rate, right? Unless you're, you know, super partisan and the impeachment or the failure to impeach Trump, you think of as dangerous. I personally don't. We have a constitution with mechanisms. Certain aspects to this current impeachment process, which today was announced that there will be public hearings, the House Democrats, the majority, are going to run hearings, and they're going to deeply, deeply restrict what Republicans can ask and probably not let them have any witnesses before what one would think would be a final vote. So, but maybe it goes nowhere, too. Personally, if they impeach Trump and they have a constitutional reason that they find to do it, then it's not highly dangerous. Now, it's highly emotional, but for all the supporters to know what he's standing for. But ultimately, the Republicans survive it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think while it is important, like you said, we don't talk about it much here because we're talking about the big picture. And what I consider the real macro events that are worldwide. And yes, if there's civil unrest from impeachment or lack thereof,
I don't think there will be.
Exactly. And we don't see any signs of it immediately, so we don't want to talk about that right now.
Conservatives don't riot.
That's true. They have their guns to back them up, but they don't go offensively and go anything crazy.
Highly defensive.
That's true.
But offensive is not the strength of that side of the aisle.
Right, despite what the mainstream media may be saying in the near future. But I think I'm much more worried about what's going on while, you know, the left hand's doing this.
Yeah,
we're
exactly.
all talking about impeachment. There's all these other things going on.
Lots of things under the surface.
So the next year we will talk about election 2020, but I think a lot of it will be as a segue to topics that are going on, not the election itself.
Right. It's not the topic of this show. There's so many others doing that. We're focusing on like serious, the hardcore that if it starts to go awry, we're going to see historically bad things happen. We're trying to talk about them way earlier than everybody else.
Yep, yep. And quick plug, we got a great archive. We're coming up on the second anniversary, 2 full years in the books here in a couple weeks. So we're on episode 73. Go to blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Power, or excuse me, Patriot Broadcasting Network. Find our entire archive. And of course, on futuredanger.com, we got the entire archive. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Get the whole RSS feed anywhere you find podcasts. Got to put that out there. But I'm looking forward to coming back in a few years and listening to not my entire archive by any means. It's kind of hard to listen to myself, to be honest. But digging into what was going on 3, 5, 10 years ago via this. So, you know, I encourage folks to check it out as well. Just heck, to hear what we were talking about in November 2017 when Bitcoin was going crazy. I'm going to go back and listen to a couple of those for sure.
Exactly. We got predictions we made that have stood the test of time, including the major bear market in crypto that Ben made, you know, months into the beginning of Patriot Power Hour. There'll be opportunities to, you know, pull up clips and point to when a crisis hits. Chances are we'll probably talked about things related to it earlier, but right now things like that, like early summer, are pretty mundane. We got some big news on the news censorship front. Of course, Project Veritas exposed a hot mic clip of a reporter at ABC who spoke candidly about Clinton, Prince Andrew, and Epstein and the accuser and how her story was spiked. This is a developing story because I'm not even sure that Amy Robach is happy to the fact that what she said got out. But
yeah, she got canned, and she's never going to – no one's ever going to tell her anything.
She didn't
ever
get canned
again.
That I know of. The CBS News fired a staffer who had access to the leaked audio.
Okay. All right.
I don't think she's made a
this
public appearance
out today
yet.
In the last day or so. I haven't researched per se. But,
this
okay.
is Project Veritas, another sting, guerrilla journalism. Hats off to him for making that happen, O'Keefe. But the censorship is sickening and stark. Leaked ABC News insider recording completely exposes the Epstein cover-up, and it's been parked for years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. This is going back to the 2016 election. I'm sure they – and this is just, you know, the tip of the iceberg. And in my opinion, they knew a lot more way back in the day. People were told to shut
Well, it was only
out.
Weeks ago when he got arrested – that they were raiding his Bahama Island. There was photos of FBI agents all around there, and the weird temple with the limousine loop in front of it that is thought to have been the location where they actually cemented the deals by powerful people having intercourse with underage girls and potentially at the behest of one or more foreign governments. And perhaps they're doing it in cooperation,
right,
to cement alliances in some super perverse way.
It wouldn't be the first time in human history, let's just say that.
I don't know about that. When has that ever happened?
Well, I'm just saying all types of empires in the past have had crazy sacrifices or...
Like that?
Yeah, man.
Filmed?
Well, like they didn't have that type of technology. I'm talking like in the
like
last several thousand years.
Like potentially.
The Aztecs and Mayans did crazy stuff like that for real.
No, that's primitive compared to this. This is like...
Well, this is like the... Yeah, this is like 21st century version of it.
A deep state in Tel Aviv, London, and Washington, D.C. all agreeing to control the entire terrain of all their political establishments by bringing leaders into this and filming them so that they are leveraged.
Well, this is like where it goes from... So this is one thing I wanted to talk about. If we were saying this just a couple years ago before this Epstein stuff, let alone 10, 20 years ago, it would be total conspiracy theory that this even existed.
5 years ago.
Exactly.
This is only Alex Jones 5 years ago.
Exactly. So I'm like, now we're getting to the point where like it's been pushed from crazy conspiracy Alex Jones or whomever on YouTube. that kind of line has been pushed a lot, but now we're now it's that level of like, well, was government not just involved or complicit, but actually encouraging it? And then, of course, Alex and everybody else will say, yes, absolutely, it's some, you know, satanic cult, blah, 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 blah. I believe that to some degree, we'll see. But, you know, I don't really get too much into that either. I know Future Danger doesn't really, but it doesn't get to, I mean, that's like a rabbit hole, and there's a lot more to go, and we've already seen how much we've been pushed the last 5 years, right?
So, well, don't forget.
So what are we supposed to do about that? Like, guys like you and me, we got to address it, but on the flip side, it's kind of crazy, right?
For the people that are trying to expose, you know, the pedo rings that are potentially within higher levels of government, you know, look back at the Podesta emails, the pizza joint that was potentially the place where these transactions were to have occurred, and everything that surrounds the murder of the DNC staffer Seth Rich, it all leads into a nexus between foreign governments, Russian probably involved, and our FBI, Comey, the DOJ, the FISA warrants. I mean, we got a continuous chain of massive corruption, and you know, a lot of believers, the QAnon crowd, think that, you know, Trump's really going to pull the rug out on rings of pedophilia in ways that, you know, that could be destabilizing. But the fact that ABC News has suppressed it for 2 years certainly lends credence to the QAnon theory, doesn't it?
Well, exactly. That's a great segue to kind of finish this part of the segment. Kind of getting back to where our ground here and what Future Danger talks about. I mean, the big news here, what brought this all up was all this cover up by quote-unquote mainstream media. And it's just, it's such serious news and so like disgusting that if they would cover that up, they will cover up anything, right? Pretty much. So can we trust them with anything? If anyone had any trust left in them, they see this type of cover up, like they'll cover up anything.
This is one of those things they can cover up, apparently. At least their adherents don't have to hear it, do they? But here you have an ABC News reporter who, if she was successful as an anchor at the network, probably wasn't conservative by any means. You know, speaking plainly about the fact that they could have just exposed the Clintons and the royalty and others through this accuser.
Right. Yeah. So
years ago.
And I think the big point is I'm not even focused as much on this exact story. I'm just like, I know for every one of these that shows up, there's got to be like five more, right? So what are the ones we haven't heard about and will stay cover up forever?
I think Epstein was prolific. I'm not sure that this has ever happened before. A private island where they can have a temple where the foreign governments film their leaders in the act so they are beholden.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about systemic media cover up where every organization did, not just this one. That's what I mean. Not Epstein's like alone or whatever, but
yeah,
he's definitely not alone. He's like, you know,
this is a major lapse in their ability to cover up.
That's another way to look at it. It's starting to break down. That's good. We're, you know, I don't care if whatever you say, controlled opposition, this and the other thing. No one wants to see this go down.
No kidding.
So anyway, all right. Well, that's end for segment. We're coming up with a news blitz. We'll talk a little bit of other articles, different topics, like we always do here in Patriot Power Hour. Be sure to follow us on Twitter.
We might break down impeachment, anyways.
Okay. Well, no, we got a long show. We got a powerful Power Hour, and we will be right back with that news blitz. Stick with us.
I watched sea beams glitter in the dark near the Ten Hauser Gate. All those moments will be lost in time. Like tears.
We're back on this live show of the Patriot Power Hour, segment two, Future Danger News Blitz. Everything in Liberty, column one, we covered it already. Epstein, censorship, red hot, check it out. Now, for a little bit of a change up, we're going to go straight into the economic gauges. Now, premiering on FutureDanger.com. We've got a whole slew of new ones, many of them complex. We talk about how these work. Back in episode 71, go back to the archive, check it out. You'll know what we were talking about. I'm just reading the temperature of the economic news right now. 10-year treasury change over the past 24 hours, minus about 3%, so that's safe. Federal government debt to GDP ratio, we're hitting in the red zone, 98%. Median home sales price change over 90 days, drop minus 3.3 2/3. Of a percent. That's a big drop in the housing market. Watch the real estate market. It may potentially begin to melt. Money supply, M2 change over the past 7 days, creeping up another quarter of a point. It was that way last week too. Total assets held by the Federal Reserve change in the last 7 days, 1 1/3% up. And we'll talk about more in a moment. Gasoline per gallon daily average $2.70, nearing the red zone of all-time highs. Most of these gauges are built upon all-time highs, especially the commodities like oil. It's safe, 57 a barrel. Dow Jones percent change is positive. The Dow is hitting record highs. U.S. dollar index safely in the middle zone, nowhere near its all-time lows. Gold, though, in the gold. Not above the 1500 handle, that 470 tonight, like we saw it a week or two ago, but it is nearing all-time highs. The VIX near its historical low. Initial jobless claims last week near historical lows. Business bankruptcies quarterly near historical lows. Federal funds rate change over the last 30 days, almost 11% decrease. Those are your gauges, folks. Here's the news. Extreme after-hour repos continue to be reported, Ben. New York Fed adds $105 billion to the markets earlier in this week, and again today, $115 billion short-term liquidity. No wonder the Fed assets are spiking in the last 7 days. They're just buying up what? We don't know. They're just flooding money into banks.
I'm sure it's AAA, though.
Yeah. FBI says Bitcoin concerns getting bigger and bigger. Simultaneously, that news article is hitting the deck. Quarter of Americans defaulted on their student loans. Global debt surges to record high, $188 trillion. Student and auto loans in the U.S. hit near new record highs. That's their economic picture. Piles and piles of debt, but the indicators aren't moving much into red zones. How long before the fragile system suffers some spikes? Or maybe it's resistant. We'll talk about that next. Security column, China racing to weaponize artificial intelligence. Department of Homeland Security rolls an armored vehicle into Queens to conduct an operation. And the French president says the NATO alliance is experiencing brain death. I got to be honest, all three of those articles suck. We basically don't have any news in the security column, which is pretty rare. But those are topical and interesting. You can check them out. And on the natural and science front, we have very minor news to report. Although, there is a headline today that the drought in Africa is reaching a point where 52 million face hunger. When that sort of thing gets worse and worse, you start to see, you know, pictures of starving in Africa. Not saying it's anywhere close to that, but the droughts are severe in that continent. With that said, we have light news. Some of this is bizarre news, and some of this could be portentous. What do you make of it, Ben?
I want to hit those indicators. I got a couple things to say. Let me take a look here. First off, great job. Entire really color scheme overhaul, too, for your indicators here. I think it makes it look easier to read. And these indicators look really nice there. And I think it's really freaking awesome. So definitely go check out episode 71 if you haven't yet. But kind of besides that, what I want to get into, a couple of these caught my eye. Let's take a look here. The Fed total assets changing over 7 days, you know, getting pretty close to the red zone. I expect that will be the one that if we see really jump, it's going to be, you know.
It'll spike earlier than everyone else. The leading indicator is Fed total assets change over 7 days.
Yeah, think of it as that's the they're hitting the gas pedal. This is like when they're first accelerating to save something. Now, that doesn't mean we might actually see like the stock market start to melt down, and then this comes to, it may not necessarily
but this
be
isn't
leading.
This isn't secret. There's no like real block to this information. Wall Street Journal will report it. Federal Reserve will say what they're doing.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I also, and we were discussing this during the break, and we'll, I think 7 days is a great one to use, but also the total asset change over, you know, like 1 month, 3 months, 6 months is very important because a lot of people look at day to day, month to month, or quarter to quarter. You know, corporate America, all they care about is quarterly earnings. But when you look at some of these things, you know, even on a longer period, but at least, you know, month or quarter level, it can mean a big deal. But on the flip side, since these are pretty short term, if you come here and you see this in the red for a couple of days and it disappears for a while,
couldn't
find.
Probably not means huge, nothing.
Right, exactly. But if you see it day after day after day, and of course the articles that you add, because these gauges aren't independent.
They're inactive
articles
right now.
Go on. Exactly.
Just to make clear, most of the gauges that I spoke about, in fact, all the gauges, because none of the indicators with economic live gauges are active. There's no news against them.
And one thing I really like about them, and let's look at some of them right here. There's three or four in a row, except gold is an outlier here. Maybe we could talk a little bit about that. But most of these are at very low, you know, non-dangerous levels.
Yes, many of them.
Unemployment.
That's the Trump economy.
Initial jobless claims, 211,000 is so low compared to the all-time high.
Yeah.
It sounds like a lot. 211,000 people are jobless this week.
I think it's near record lows in 1969.
Exactly. And like the highs are like 800,000 or even more. Point is, that's low. Look at the volatility index. We've talked about that a lot. The VIX, it's at very low, 12.73. It's super low. You know, when you get to the 60s or higher, it's, you know, you start to worry, but 12, super low.
30s you would worry.
Yeah,
well, 30s get headlines if VIX hits that. For all those who aren't necessarily up to speed on some of these things, the VIX is the volatility index. It's an equity that trades at the Chicago Board of Exchange, and you could just bet really on how volatile the market is going to be. It's known as the fear gauge because when it rises high, it's because a lot of people are hedging their bets because the rest of the markets are starting to crumble.
Yep. And a couple more real quick. We're looking at I want to throw some cold water on this maybe, though. A lot of what we're talking about now is kind of a financial gauge insofar as what the stock market shows or to poke some holes, for example, in the unemployment numbers. A lot of people have two jobs now.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's not like there's super low unemployment. Everyone's got a 40-hour, you know, salary job with full benefits. It's not
that's
like
not how they measure it.
Exactly. So that's, you got to keep that type of stuff in there. But I like to just simply go to gold and kind of that'll be the final indicator I talk about.
But there's a lot of people that prefer to have two jobs too. So how do you even know?
That's a good point
too. Good or bad.
But we dig deeper.
A lot of people don't, and I sympathize. But
many of the newer jobs are, what can I say, lower level. You know, $15 an hour, $10 an hour, retail or warehousing type stuff. Work for Amazon.
Business bankruptcies are really, really low.
But so a lot of these, I just feel as if with gold though, we're in the red zone. We're pretty much at 1500, hovering right there.
We're within 25%
all right time. Right on that limit, but we're within 25% all time high. So what's going on there? That's the question. I personally think gold is saying, hey, we're piling up tons and tons of debt to support these low, quote unquote, healthy indicators. But that's just because we're piling on massive amounts of debt and like 0% interest rates. That's why. So that's
and the real money knows it may be a good idea to hold some gold.
It might be. It's at least worked in most human civilization. I don't know. Maybe, you know, the Harvard business folks have
come up overcome
it. Yeah. So, you know, one was forged in Cambridge, or not Cambridge. One was formed in a supernova. That's where gold comes from, as an element. That's why it's, you know, important and cannot be. Alchemy does not work. The other was forged, you know, by Boston or, you know, up in the Northeast. Which one is more powerful?
Yale.
Chicago Booth School of Business is big in on this, so, you know, throw it out to Chicago, second city. Anyway, talk a little trash, whatever, just joking around.
But the intent of these inactive bundles carrying indicators that could even, like in Gold's case, be within 25% of the all-time high. It doesn't generate any news because it's not newsworthy anymore. But on the day that you catch MSNBC having to talk about something crazy happening economically, and most times it's a drop in the Dow Jones, then check all the other indicators. Some of these, if they're all in the red, if you didn't know what they meant before, could be time to study up. But if you look at it now and just say, whatever that means, it's not hitting red, so I guess I'm okay. But it's the collective, not the individuals that you should focus on.
I like it. It's really interesting, I think. I think the way you put it is great. Just kind of take a quick scan of it, see what's really low, see what's really high. Maybe if there's articles there, obviously check them out. But you can dig into the archive too. Kind of.
This type of economic information to the common man doesn't exist anywhere else on the internet.
Hell no, man. Definitely, this is what we're doing here.
And the sources are all things like CNN Money and the Federal Reserve,
yep.
St. Louis Bank that publishes.
These are numbers that you make up, exactly. So we'll get into that a lot more, obviously, in that kind of episode 71, another plug, the kind of rollout of these. But, yeah, we're not making these numbers up. This is an opinion.
They're the commonly accepted.
From Wall Street Journal.
All
of
business runs off of these numbers. The government and all of industry worldwide. Take these at faith. Now, can some of them be manipulated and messed with? Absolutely. Can all of these, like the price of oil, the price, spot price of gold? No. No. This is real.
Yeah, unless the forces that, you know, construe the supply and demand of oil are fake, you know, which we'll get into.
Yeah, wow.
We'll get into that. That's what I'm really talking about. All right, folks. Patriot Power Hour. First half is over. But we got another half hour coming your way. Stick with us.
My son might not understand what I've tried to be. And if I were to be killed in Willard, I would want someone to go to my home and tell my son everything. Everything I did, everything you saw. Because there's nothing that I detest more than the stench of lies. And if you understand me, Willard, You will do this for me.
Achieve situational awareness. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
We're back, and we are live. 7th of November, 2019. Episode 73 of the Patriot Power Hour. Ben the Breaker of Banksters, Cochran, and Future Dan of FutureDanger.com. Well, we hit the news blitz. We talked about pretty much all the articles that I felt were important, and I think you as well there, Future Dan. We got a solid half hour. I know we got a lot more to talk about, though.
What's everybody else talk about impeachment. We need to.
All right.
So I want to jump into what did they actually draw up? The one and only time articles of impeachment were – that's not true. Barring 19th century cases, the modern presidency, Nixon was had articles of impeachment brought up. That's really the only time that we have anything written like that. So jumping into Wikipedia. Checking out the articles adopted or to be – voted on by the House when, at that point, Nixon resigned. All right. So on June 17, 1972, and prior thereto, agents of the Committee for the Reelection of the President committed unlawful entry into the headquarters of the Democratic National Committee. All right. That's what it was about. It was sending in guys that broke in, which is burglary. All right. And being in charge of a burglary operation would be criminal. And there you go. That's Article 1. He was probably going to lose his seat for that right there. Okay? The second one is a really mealy-mouth language about, not doing the best of his ability to preserve and protect and defend the Constitution, disregarding duties that they don't really define, violating the constitutional rights of citizens without any kind of, like, specific charge. So even – in 1972, the first one they got him on, in my opinion, or would have got him on, but the second one was a load of lawyerese. That was 72, okay? So this amount of time later, these many decades later, I can't wait to see U.S. House of Representative majority today concoct statements that they expect people to vote on, but I'm noticing that even in 72, they didn't like cite U.S. code, or if the burglary happened in the District of Columbia, the laws of the District of Columbia, they weren't even doing that. And you would think that, you know, high crimes and misdemeanors kind of demands a crime that's something against the law, right? This isn't a matter of the legislature deciding that behavior at this time, we call it criminal.
Definitely the abuse of power and contempt of Congress. It doesn't look like they name, you know, U.S. code or anything. But in that first article,
that's because it's an opinion of a presidential use of power.
Let's throw those other two away. Like you said, lawyerese, garbage. I mean, I guess you could, you know, whatever. Let's get into that first one that pretty much everyone accepts is true.
And the third one is not giving up subpoenas to the committee.
Okay.
Which Nixon always said he never had to do. And every president since has said they don't have to do.
All right.
And it's not settled case law, but it seems as though the consensus for a long time. Of course, the Obama administration ignored subpoenas left and right. Right. So when you're talking about current Trump impeachment hearings and the whistleblower, the Ukrainian call, you know, the transcript that Trump has released of the entire call, the lack of any witnesses – where does any of this end up? It seems like a sideshow circus that could never result in a Senate conviction. You know, Clinton was impeached too for perjury. That's the second one after Nixon. I was wrong. And,
how could you forget about that one?
It was such an embarrassment to the country. Anybody who lived through it probably would like
I felt like that was almost like we're really America taking a turn for the worse. It's going down. And then obviously 9/11 happened. It was a total cluster from there on. But like,
yeah.
I remember maybe that's just because I was like 10, 12 years old when Clinton happened. So it was like right when I started to become aware, sort of. and that happened, and then 9/11 happened when I was a teenager, and it's just like, oh my God. But who knows? I'm sure if I was a teenager in 1968, I'd be like, what the hell is going on in this place? So whatever. It is what it is. Keeps the perspective. One thing, oh, actually, just a side issue. My dad, I was talking to him yesterday, and he said he was in kindergarten when
JFK
got his head blown off. And he said from then on, even then, he knew that from then on, the presidents were just going to get worse and worse, he said. He's like, he even knew as a kid, like, oh, from here on out, it's going to get real, you know, he just, it was just going downhill fast.
No, so. There's a lot of crazy assassinations in the 60s.
Exactly.
We all know about. But in terms of impeachment, if I had to forecast, if somehow, and the Democrats are just hoping that somehow they can get a bunch of Republicans pressured by the electorate to try to go this way and vote for this, or they'll lose their seats in the general election next year, and that somehow it arrived at a point where the requisite amount of Senate votes were achieved. I could see Trump sitting in the White House, taking it straight to the Supreme Court, saying that without adjudication, I don't go anywhere because I have the president. I'm a co-equal branch of government, and that it comes down to the Supreme Court. And the challenge I would make if I was the president's lawyers, if that day ever came, is there's no crime. They cited nothing. Now, right. You can't give, the Congress does not have, sole discretion to define high crime and misdemeanor, and the Supreme Court might weigh in, and they're going to have to do better in a actual charge against Trump before this goes anywhere, and nothing's emerged of this
right.
Ukrainian call.
You listen. I know that you kind of like pay attention to this a lot more than me. Do you? What is their quote unquote first article of impeachment? Like they can come up with a whole bunch of other ones. What's their strongest case?
No, you've just summarized the entire Republican Party's talking points of the last week. No, there's nothing. There's nothing there.
Well, this is some Ukraine thing. Is that going to be like their primary exhibit? Or they got really just only the legal
issues? Seems like it might end up with less traction than the
exactly.
Comey-McCabe nonsense.
That's my point. Like I've always thought that. Like, if they couldn't get him on that, then it's like
but
they
yet,
already
yet,
missed the
yet
opportunity.
They're opening hearings in Congress this week.
True.
Or announce the opening. I don't know when they start. Soon, presumably. Supposedly, Pelosi has a timetable.
I wish this stuff would just stop. All right. Anyway.
I'm pretty sure that's what Trump's counting on right there.
And, well, here's the thing. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Nixon resigned.
He did. Of course.
So didn't even go all the way through.
No, but that first one with burglary probably was a high crime for the chief executive to know that operation, that theft took place, and to have sanctioned it.
Yeah.
So
in your opinion,
he was done.
And you can say that is bad. You know, that is a very corrupt it's not the republic or the democracy we want to be part of. I could agree. Whatever. Point is, earlier we were talking a little bit, you and I off air actually, you said the Senate would not convict them, in your opinion.
I can't
believe
that. Mitch McConnell already said they don't have the votes.
And then, so if it, let's just say, let's play a hypothetical, brain game here, brainstorming. If that happened, what do you think?
If what happened?
If somehow the Senate did convict them. I don't know. Who knows why? I've seen crazy, upsets in sports, 1%, 3%. These things happen. Do you think it would take – do you just think there's 0% chance, or do you think there's maybe like a 5% chance?
I think right now, tonight, there's 0% chance. Maybe there's crimes he committed. I don't know.
Well, they may
why
pull
some
out.
I think they would have come out if he ever did. It seems like they
would have
taken
him out by – they would have brought him out by now. I guess that's kind of what I mean. Like, what would it take for you to change your mind or actually for it to happen? What would lead to that, if anything? Maybe new crimes, quote-unquote, come to the surface.
But
you're just saying, with what we know now, at least, you think it's pretty much 0%.
Well, it takes a supermajority in the Senate, 66 votes. The Republicans have a majority. That's 50 whatever the majority is right now, 51, 52.
Well, Election Day was...
It's every one of those Republicans...
Well, the Republicans start getting scared, though.
Let's see. How far short are they? We'll do the real math. Just hang on. We're going to do live... breakdown of the House, Senate. Now it would have to happen, but it's going to take a ton.
So you don't think these senators will turn on Trump? and just sacrifice them? If they're getting their mollywopped, as the kids say, because guess what happened? Democrats just whooped the Republicans' ass in a lot of things I just saw this past couple days ago. Well, if the Republicans, you know, most Republican senators are a bunch of cowards anyway. Think they're going to stick by Trump, or they're going to try to turn tail and suck up and try to survive? Or you think they're actually going
to
hunker down?
No, the question is, how many does it take to turn, knowing that they're Republican senators whose constituencies that put them in office would go berserk? So you got 52, 48.
Do you think
in the Senate?
So
I think it's about that right now. I'm trying to find out.
So you don't believe the polls that say like 50% of Americans want them removed type of thing? More fake news.
What difference does that make?
That means half the constituents want them to get removed. So maybe some of these Republicans are scared for their seats and they're like, well, I'm not going to stop it. I might not support it, but I'm not going to, you know.
All right.
I'm just being devil's advocate. I don't know, really.
Well, I'm jumping over
until it actually happens. I'm not really paying
attention. Jumping over to the Battle of the Senate 2018, right?
Okay.
And the real clear politics projection is 49 Republicans, 43 Democrats, and 8 toss-ups going into the next election, right? And 51 seats are needed for majority. Any tie, Pence votes. And you now, you know, 51 is a majority, but supermajority is 66.
Right.
So the 50 or so Republicans that are liable to be, you know, in the Senate, well, I'm saying it wrong. The number of –
you need like 15 or 20 of them to turn.
Yeah.
So you need about 30 to 40% of Republican senators to go against Trump.
Yeah.
That sounds almost possible. I'm not saying it's likely, but like what are the odds on that? I might put a bet.
We're 53. We're 53-47 right now. I was saying 52-48.
Okay.
We're 53-47.
I don't know about we. I'm not a Republican. So.
Our country is right here.
We are. Country.
Yeah, we're all in this, man. Stop standing around like this won't end up affecting you. In the scenario you're asking about.
Is like 65% of the actual population, though.
But it's 0% of the Senate.
That's fair. I guess I don't identify with Congress as my nation.
The math major will help us. How many Republicans have to peel if all 47 Democrats voted for impeachment?
Good point.
Is what? 20.
20, yeah. 20 out of
20 gets you 67.
About 38%. 36%.
You got to hit the 67th vote, right, to get a supermajority of 100.
So less than 40%. Just about 40% of Republicans.
40% of sitting Republican senators.
Yes.
4 in 10 sitting Republican senators.
2 to 5.
Two out of every 5 sitting.
You don't think 2 out of 5 are a bunch of pansies and may just like rout and like totally betray their president if they think it would help them? It just will help them. I think they would do it if it would help them.
How in the world would it help them right now? They get slaughtered. They might get assassinated in some of these districts if they went home and they had voted to impeach Trump. Some of them might come down to like a basic survival instinct. I can't go back to that state.
We still got another like year to go or more. I'm not saying right now, but what was it in a year or two?
Oh, well, if we find out that Trump authorized
the economy starts to collapse and then they try to Hoover Trump.
Well, it wouldn't be a Hoover, it'd be a Nixon. It couldn't. They're thinking of Nixon them. Meanwhile, in the shadows. The New World Order banksters are trying to hoover him.
Exactly. Well, that's exactly
Nixon him on the front page, hoover him when you're not looking.
That's a good way to put it, man. Hoover him in the back end.
For the record, I'm pretty confident neither one is necessarily happening, and I hope neither does.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
We speculate on Patriot Power Hour.
Yeah, we're just not – I'm not going to say we're having fun per se, but we are just – brainstorming, talking.
I don't think
it's gonna happen,
crime, so
but
I don't
still
think he's going anywhere.
I think it's greater than 1% chance, but probably more like 1.5-2% chance that it happens in the next 6 years.
That's
assuming if he wins, then they may try it again in like
20
years.
Republican senators want to end their political careers just to get rid of Trump.
Hey man, we'll see what the constituents say. I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe enough people out there like Trump. We'll see. We'll be back. Take your time.
West Coast. East Coast. Down here's Mexico. First wave of the attack came in disguised as commercial charter flights, same way they did in Afghanistan in 80. Only they were crack airborne outfits. Now they took these passes into Rockies.
So that's what hit Calumet?
I guess so. They coordinated with selective nuke strikes, and the missiles were a hell of a lot more accurate than we thought. They took out the silos here in the Dakotas, key points of communication.
Like what?
Oh, like Omaha, Washington, Kansas City.
Gone?
Yeah.
Right.
That's right. Fill traders came up illegal from Mexico. Cubans, mostly. They managed to infiltrate SAC bases in the Midwest, several down in Texas, and wreaked a hell of a lot of havoc, I'm here to tell you. They opened up the door down here, and the whole Cuban and Nicaraguan armies come walking right through, roll right up here through the Great Plains.
How far did they get?
Cheyenne. Crossed to Kansas. We held them at the Rockies and at the Mississippi. Anyway, the Russians reinforced with 60 divisions. Sent three whole army groups across the Bering Strait into Alaska, cut the pipeline, came across Canada, to link up here in the middle, but we stopped their butt cold. Lines have pretty much stabilized now.
What about Europe?
I guess they figured twice in one century was enough. Just sitting this one out. I'll accept England. They won't last very long. The Russians need to take us in one piece, and that's why they're here now. That's why they won't use nukes anymore, and we won't either, not on our own soil. Whole damn thing's pretty conventional now. Who knows, maybe next week will be swords.
What started it?
I don't know, two toughest kids on the block, I guess. Sooner or later, they're gonna fight.
That simple.
Maybe somebody just forgot what it was like.
Well, who is on our side?
600 million screaming Chinamen.
Well, last I heard, there were a billion screaming Chinamen.
There were.
You are listening live to the Patriot Power Hour, furnished by Ready Made Resources and fueled by FutureDanger.com.
We're back. Final segment. Live. Episode 73. 7th of November. 2019. Gonna finish strong here.
So we're just talking about Trump and essentially the fist fight he's been in since he entered the race to be president with the Republican Party. Left a lot of black guys in there, and could they all turn on him eventually in the Senate? And, you know, otherwise the just the fight he's been in day in and day out since he's been president, and how he's kind of holding up. And your analogy was sort of like a racehorse. His competitors were coming up strong behind him, but they were sprinting on him, maybe got a little bit ahead of him here and there, but he just keeps on going strong.
Yep. And they're falling off, and you know, I thought of it at first as a boxing analogy because I love boxing, fighting, MMA, whatever. And a fighter that weathers that storm and just keeps getting stronger as the fight goes on. But I think the horse race is even more appropriate, probably. So it looks like unless we just discussed, could they Nixon him, right?
Turn Nixon into a verb. Could they Nixon him?
Hoover him.
And we've talked about that many times, the Patriot Power. Absolutely. But of course, we forgot the obvious one.
Right. What's that?
And the Secret Service, just so if you're listening, I'm not saying that I'm advocating this at all, but it could get JFK'd, of course. Every president could. They could all get assassinated. Yep. That's why we have a Secret Service. So you could JFK a president, you could Hoover him, or right now they're trying to Nixon him.
Yep.
And But there's no doubt that powerful forces are after him right now, and he's fighting for his life.
So I'm a numbers man, way too much. I use numbers to quantify everything. We've already established that to Nixon him is like 1% or less, in your opinion.
Way less right now.
Okay.
Unless he committed crimes. Then it goes up to like 50-50, and okay. Kind of a crime.
But from the knowledge we know right now, 8:53 p.m. Eastern Time, November 2019.
Pretty low.
So, yeah. Hoover him. It's so hard. I mean, to put a percentage chance. What do you think the chance they Hoover him in the next?
Well, I got another presidential verb for you.
What's that?
Because I always consider the end of the Bush presidency is he got bushwhacked at the beginning with 9/11 and bushwhacked with
financial crisis.
Crisis at the end. So, you know.
Not bushwhacked.
Trump won't get bushed insofar as, oh, massive bailouts.
I think Hoover's the most likely, though.
Hoover is the name of the president is renowned for the roaring 20s, the excesses, the massive bubble in the market, and then complete collapse of the economy and the populace into New Deal socialism. So what could work better for Democrats than to Hoover them so that an entire new reset comes in?
You know, I didn't make any prediction on this per se, but I do recall many episodes of my previous radio shows before you and I were doing them together. And when Trump won, or even when he was running, I was like, if he wins, they may just put all the blame on him, and that'll, you know,
scapegoat.
That'll propel the
for a century
level of bullshit.
For like four
right?
generations of all Americans will be taught in the school books
exactly.
That what Trump did was criminal, and that.
So it's like, would you rather him?
He was inept, and the economy was steered straight into the ground.
Do you want? So I guess it's still better that he beat Hillary. We can admit. I would think everybody can admit that. But
in Hillary's own words, what difference would it make if within the 4 years after he won, they hoovered him?
Well, I mean, so I don't necessarily prescribe to what I'm saying. A devil's advocate.
Yeah, speculate.
Let's say he's doing a great job, and then they hoover him. I think the damage that could be done to conservatives, libertarians, just people that want liberty and freedom, patriots, could be way worse because they'll be able to scapegoat him for four generations, like you said.
I'll tell you
what. Than the good that he's doing right now, if he's doing good.
I'll tell you how bad it would be. The depression, which was
the problem.
This would be an economic depression. It would cost a lot of life and property. It would be terrible, right? Could work even into a world war, where it would be the first war the United States lost world war, right? Putting us in that status. Even if that didn't happen and we had this massive economic loss, the redounding effect of anybody who believed what you said, which would probably be me for the rest of my life, that he was set up. It ought to be me for the rest of my life because I'm the one that coined the term getting hoovered on this show, is that they are the group that resembles the German right between the wars that blamed minorities and foreigners and make you that kind of xenophobic right if you talk about the stab in the back. Because at the end of World War I, the entire German populace that was patriotic to Germany was stunned that they lost. And the myth grew out of it that it was – or and we're not going to argue whether it was a myth or not. Let's just go with the commonly accepted history of – the myth was that Jews on the home front undermined their effort, and they got stabbed in the back. That is what you just speculated, that the people that saw it coming and spoke out against it afterwards, they will – stat progs will attempt to box them into the same trope.
Yeah.
And knowing about it ahead of time might not even be able to stop it if that depression was bad enough. You're going to have to cope with that and defend it for the rest of your life. About how you said you saw it coming, and
the banksters,
because the damage
it.
Will be so widespread, and the generation that comes after us that didn't know one way or the other will only have heard about it. It was only Trump's fault.
Exactly.
And anybody that defends him now has to be that kind of completely fringe thinking group.
But no one's going to be talking about the IMF or the ECB or Bank of Japan or the Fed or the crazy fiscal irresponsibility we've had for decades.
You know why?
They're not going to talk about that. They're going to.
You know what? I bet you all Trump's that fault. Gets renamed, Bretton Woods would get wiped out. There would be none of those institutions by name again. They would Orwell
like
it,
year
wipe
zero,
it out.
Exactly.
You'd have all new international structures
exactly.
to get taught in the year. And then it'll be only the nerds remember how Wilson was, conned into the Federal Reserve and the UN.
Yeah, he'll just have
a great statue.
He was a great president.
The Articles of the League of Nations. Yeah.
No, exactly. No, they do that type of thing with what was it? Philip Morris now. What they renamed Philip Morris is like Altria or something. Because everyone knows Philip Morris sold cancer.
Well, they'll rebrand
it. They're going to rebrand the World
Bank. It's bad enough.
League of Nations,
the
United
Nations
is the what? It's going to be exactly. So I think you hit it nail on the head. That's why I'm kind of like, I'm not saying I'm speechless right now, but you freaking crushed it right there. It would be kind of a year zero.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be a total kind of, like you said, down the memory hole, Orwellian kind of.
Yeah,
memory
hole.
Totally.
It'd be big memory holes attempted.
Definitely. So that's part of the reason we do freaking Patriot Power Hour.
So I'm
archive
saying
of
now
this.
That globalist scum stabbed us in the back if all this happened. Like, I didn't come up with it after it happened. If you do it, I said it. I agree with all those before me who have been saying the same thing, that you're trying to end the republic as we know it, free market principles and constitutional liberties, and you're stabbing us now by taking Trump down that way.
So I think this is a great freaking episode. Running out of time. I think in the end, we can talk about the details, but I think a lot of people get lost in the details. You got to look from the bigger picture, and that's what we're trying to do here in Patriot Power Hour. Bring it all together and look deep into the future, not just the next election cycle.
Maybe none of this comes to fruition.
Exactly. I don't hope it doesn't, but on the flip side, from the financial point of view, it's going to happen, so. That's why I'm more concerned about that.
The hoovering, though, in conjunction,
exactly.
though.
The political ramifications.
Maybe Trump's leaving it for the next Democrat president.
Possibly, but who knows, man. Freaking, I think Wilson. Let's blame on him. All right, folks. We are out of here. We will be back live next week, episode 74. Future Dan, have a good weekend.
2-year anniversary, Ben. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All righty. Front Point Partners. How can Standard & Poor's help you?
Well, we don't understand why the ratings agencies haven't downgraded subprime bonds since the underlying loans are clearly deteriorating.
Well, the delinquency rates do have people worried, but they're actually within our model.
So,
says you,
you're convinced the underlying mortgages in these bonds are solid loans?
That is our opinion,
yes.
Oh,
crack the tape. Have you looked at the loan-level data?
What do you think
we do
here all day?
You're giving these loans to anybody with a credit score and a pulse.
Sir, what do you think we do here all day?
I'm not sure. That's why we're here.
Here's what I don't understand.
We check, we recheck.
If these mortgage bonds are so stable, if they are so solid,
check your friend.
Have you ever refused to rate?
That's delusional.
Georgia,
we stand behind
have you ever refused to rate any of these bonds upper tranches AAA? Can we see the paperwork on those?
Oh, I'm under no obligation to share that information with you,
just
whoever you might be.
Just answer the question, Georgia. Can you name one time in the past year where you checked the tape and you didn't give the banks the AAA percentage they wanted?
If we don't give them the ratings, they'll go to Moody's, right down the block. If we don't work with them, they will go to our competitors. Not our fault. Simply the way the world works.
Holy shit.
Yes, now you see.